All right, if you are going to children's church, we have no wall, you will be quiet, or we will visit you. We probably should not have done that today, simply because we haven't got our wall. We were going to get a wall up there. We'll try it, see what happens. I think it's going to be very difficult for anybody to say anything back there without it being in here, that hard wall into here. But we'll give it a try. And there's no insult here. It's just hard to do. We need a wall back there with a door. We got to get some window coverings. This is probably not the way we're going to set up the sanctuary, but we're working on that. Found out this morning the thermostats are not correct. So if you get freezing up here, you'll let us know, because that one back there is on a different one. So, and they're off. If they're both set at 70, you will freeze here and burn up back there. So that's the most efficient air conditioner. If there's a problem, turn this one down or up. So what else? We've got a lot of things to change. So if you didn't get your monies in, please do that, because we can spend them. We can spend it. We need to. I think the plan is that the roof be worked on starting this next week, which will be $1,700, $1,800. I doubt if they get it that fast. Signs will get ordered. That's another $1,960, all right. By the way, we were paid $4,000 to fix the roof, so we're not in bad shape. God's been working and moving, and He still is. He has a purpose. Amen? He has a purpose. Okay. Y'all ready to look into the Word a little bit this morning? All right. I know I said earlier, and I'll say it again, we're like a bunch of new calves at new gates. So we'll just get settled in here, and everything's cool. I am blessed to be here this morning. I hope you feel the same way. I am relieved. That's not a negative statement, but I was tired of playing with these buildings. So, not that this was a desperate situation. This wasn't. But God knew where we were supposed to be, and we're here. Yeah. Father, we love You. We love You, Lord. We trust You this morning. We trust that You've put us here. We're excited about that. We trust that this is not our last place to be. We're excited about that. We trust this morning that Your Word is for us and not against us. It is for our health and wealth and well-being. We receive that into ourselves now by decision. We receive that. And then now we'll learn the details of how You're going to work this out. We give You praise and honor and glory this morning. We thank You for touching Linda. We thank You for touching everyone here. I believe everyone here needs a physical, a mental, and a spiritual touch this morning. I believe that. And so what I believe more, and by decision, we decide that no one will leave here the same. They will be touched, healed, encouraged, directed. Not because I'm good, and not because we're good. It's because You're good, Lord. You're good. And receive that into this body, to our own bodies, in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't know what happened to this last week, but it dawned on me this morning that I didn't even ask how the service was last week. It's been a week and nobody's said anything to me. Is that good or bad? We got one.
Yeah, very good.
Well, great. I apologize for not asking. I'm telling you, we just been swamped, that's all. And we trusted, so we're not surprised, but can't believe I didn't ask. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to start I don't know how long a series, I'm not going to forget the Worthy series because the best I can understand by Scripture, everything is under the Worthy series. That's going to be with me forever. You are worthy is the key to everything. It's the answer to all questions. It's the solution to all problems. And I'm not going to forget that. So in your minds from now on, everything is under you are worthy. All right? I've got, believe it or not, I'm going to tell you just self-defense, I've got 2 pages to cover. Never had anything that short in my life. But I'm not trusting it's going to be all that short. I'm getting skeptical. The one thing I want us to understand is we do thank you for your input financially. We're not through with labor, but it is not an end, it's a beginning. I have a little problem when I complete something, I want to sit down. And I think the Lord reminded me this morning that it's a beginning, not an end. So forget that sitting down stuff. This is an intro to take up your cross and follow me. And if you just want to call it part one, that's fine. And it dawned on me this morning, and I have to tell you this, I think it was, and I won't go into details why. There's some things that are personal, but I just feel like in the last couple of months we've been slaughtered. And that's not, don't need any pity, because I'm not slaughtered. You understand the difference between I feel like it and the fact? I'm not slaughtered. But sometimes those things take their toll and they make you very tired. And I got to a point this last week about, when was the close? Thursday? Yeah, it was about Wednesday where it just felt like the world came down. And we just got so tired. And I got to the point where I really didn't care if the sun came up. Just. And some of you saw that in me, say Thursday, for instance, for sure. I mean, I had to take an aspirin just to hang on. I found myself laying on my face on the floor over here. I said, Stan, you can't do this. And Thursday, let's see, Friday morning when I woke up, I just as soon not wake up. But the Holy Spirit is not interested in those kind of feelings. I don't mean to be rude. He's not mean. That's not what I'm trying to say. But he has no association with those kind of feelings. Is that a better way to say it? The Holy Spirit cannot understand discouragement. His job is to encourage. And if you are going to encourage, you can't get involved in discouragement. You've got to be able to stay away from that. That's why I know that he's not going to get involved in the feelings of our infirmities. He's there to lift up and to push forward. Not mean, you know, but in a way that we can understand. And so Friday morning as I was laying in bed, she was up and around, which is very unusual for me to be in bed and her being up around. But I was there, and I was praying, and once again, he is worthy. I made some decisions. Now, decisions are what keeps us together. Decisions are what makes us go forward. You can't make it on faith. I want to tell you point blank, faith without works, or faith without decisions is dead. What is a decision? A decision is something that's going to direct you and motivate you, give you direction, it's give you a path to follow, and that's the only way you can go. That's a decision. If you have any other thoughts of a different direction, it's not a decision yet. Okay? I made a decision, got up, proclaimed the Word of God in my life. I get cart before the horse here. Proclaimed what I knew to be true, got up and went upstairs and got Connie's attention and said, this is what we need to do. So we made some agreements, we made some directives in our lives, and it's like God did something in me, boom, instantly. I'm not always used to, we shouldn't get used to instant things from God, but they're nice when they happen. If we got everything instantly, we'd be spoiled brats. We'd not be worth anything. It's through our work, it's where our strength comes from. It's through our persistence, it's where our long-term strength comes from, where we can't be broken down. And I think I just got too feisty for her, because I got to feeling good. And doesn't mean I'm not tired. I'm still tired, just getting over that. But the Lord kind of showed me something this morning, not as a chastisement, but a reminder that this church body has been under some tremendous attacks, whether you realize that or not. And the people that aren't here are the ones that weren't strong enough to stand the attacks. That's the bottom line. From the day this thing became a church, from a Bible study, the people that aren't here are the ones that aren't strong enough. Did you know the word attacks us? So when I talk about an attack, I'm not just talking about a demonic, even though I know we've been under a tremendous demonic attack also. But I'm talking about attack of the word. A word that's pushing and shoving and massaging and correcting and sometimes enough to even make you sore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like too much of a stretch. And I applaud those that have said, I'm not giving up. This is not going to happen. God is the rewarder, and that's where you... My compliments are nothing. I'm just telling you, God is the rewarder. And He will reward. The other thing I was reminded of is that the life of this church parallels the life of Christ. I hadn't thought about that ever before. And I'm not talking about in every way, but in some ways. We came from a small, and if you remember, a greatly resisted Bible study. Can you imagine? Can you remember the attack we went through just from having a Bible study? I mean, I was even given the credit for the pastor's wife being under psychiatric care. That makes me pretty stout, don't it? I didn't know I had that much authority. Offered to give up the Bible study if it would please the pastor, and he couldn't even form the words in his mouth. His own friends were saying, if you want it stopped, and we know you do, tell him, because all I said, all you have to do is tell me. And he wouldn't tell me. A little small beginning as a Bible study group. A few people came together and said, I don't care what you want, Stan, we need to start a church. And we did. Just as Jesus did, we had some real highs and we had some real lows. We've still got and have had faithful people and traitors. We can be bold enough sometimes to just call a dog a dog instead of a canine individual. A dog is a dog, and a traitor is a traitor, and a liar is a liar, and anything else is you're lying. We've gone through praisers, and we've gone through mockers and cursers and people that will pat you on the back. While they're cursing, by the way. We've had people that fought for, and we've had those that fought against. And here's the thing we need to remember the most. We've had great defeats. And we've had great victories. Yes. Yes. Remember the life of Christ. Great defeats and great victories. And I'll say to you again, you're never going to have a great victory without a battle that nearly feels like you just got beat up. Right? God will never give you that battle until He knows you can win it. But He also knows that He's going to take you to the brink of defeat before it happens. Why? Is that what makes you tough? That's what makes you tough. Jason called me recently and he said, Dad, I'm so glad you made me go in the military. He said, I never did understand until I went through the survival, escape, and evasion course and had to boil snake eggs and eat cooked snakes and kill rabbits and hear them scream and all of that stuff. I never understood what you've been trying to tell me until now. Now, that's what the Father says. Don't whine and don't moan. Just go to the brink of starvation. Go to the brink of destruction. Go to it with great valor, strength, and honor. And watch Him provide and watch Him bring you back. And I'm referring to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the greatest defeat and the greatest victory that's ever happened in the entire history of the universe. You understand that? Get up on the cross with Jesus and understand that it didn't feel like victory. And He's never asked you to go that far, and He's never asked me to go that far. Or is that true? I wonder what He felt like when Peter denied Him. I wonder what He felt like when Judas betrayed Him. I wonder if He ever felt like, I've only tried to do what's best for you and you keep stabbing me in the back, I quit. I wonder if He ever felt like that. The answer is yes. The Bible says He was a man. He had every feeling that a man had, so we know that He had that feeling. He also said there's nothing new under the sun, so it's already been experienced. The one thing that we've kept in order, and the reason I want to remind you of things like this is because God honors this. We've kept in order the fact that God has been our banner and our purpose. No matter what the devil has tried to do, he's kept our goal on one thing, our eyes on one thing, and that's God being our banner and our purpose. The purpose is not to get a building. Right? The purpose is not moving chairs anymore. We sometimes lose sight of things. The purpose has never been to get in a place where we don't have to move equipment. That's not our purpose. The purpose of this building is not so that we can be a safe place where we can be lazier than we were last week. There's always going to be work here. And if God's in this thing, there'll be more work now than when we moved in. The scary part about this thing, while I'm tired, and while I don't even want to talk about another day's worth of work, God says, what if I take you to 3 services? Why don't you just put us in a different building? That'd be easier. All I have to do is be willing. I have to be willing to do whatever He asks. He's not going to ask me to do everything, but I have to be willing to do everything He asks. I want to read a scripture to you. It's Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. While you're turning there, I want to give God praise for this building again. Not for it's a better place for us, but it's a better place for Him. And not that so we don't have to move chairs, but so that we have a place that can bring Him honor and glory, and power and riches. And they asked me at the closing table, is the building big enough for you? I said, of course not. I hope not. I want this to be the offices, not the building. Come on. Let's don't settle. We just moved in for temporarily. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. This is Jesus speaking. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me, is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. See, I didn't get away from the worthy, did I? Here's another assignment that we have. And I got a feeling we're going to run into a lot of these. When we proclaim he is worthy, then he starts proclaiming what we have to do. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've run into these guys, they want a job. And so the way they start the job is telling you how great a guy you are. Yes, sir. Yes, boss. All the words that flatter you. If you had a skirt on, your skirt would be blowing up like Marilyn Monroe's. But what they don't do is to say, what do you want me to do? Being worthy of him means you're going to ask him, what do you want me to do? And he's going to tell you. We're starting in the first area where it says, take up your cross and follow me. Don't be discouraged with that because we're just going to hit it just barely today. But I'm going to tell you, when we get through, you're going to be encouraged with this one. I've always thought that taking up your cross and following Jesus is not a very encouraging thought process until I figured out what happened on the cross. So we'll get there. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Now I'm going to tell you for my own benefit. Just let me be selfish for a second. I am a child of God, and I am the bride of Christ. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Can I be any more honest than that? I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to add one more sentence to this verse, and you will agree, I know. Or I'll change that verse 39. If you value your own life more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you value your own wants and wishes more than me, you're not worthy of me. Y'all are still telling him how much he's worthy, right? Okay, he's beginning to speak to us, and he'll continue for a little bit. I believe those of you, sometimes we have a hard time taking the larger view. Come on, everybody in here, just admit it. We get a little bit internal. Is that a better way than saying selfish? In other words, we just, you know, when Chuck is ready to hit a nail, his focus gets pretty small. But he never forgets that the focus is not the nail. The focus is the completed house. So hopefully he walks in to a concrete wall already seeing the completed house, right? For those of you that want to move out of this for a larger view for a second, we will see that we've just paid a price. Now, that's easy for me because I'd sign all the papers. I can very much understand we just paid a price. We paid the price to purchase victory for eternity. Amen. Not so that we didn't have to move chairs. Right? I'm not making fun of any. I don't want to move another chair in my life. I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying sometimes we start looking at the nail instead of the completed project. And it's very easy when you have to pick up. These chairs are heavier than the ones we've been moving. So, because I know, I think I handled them all about 5 times this last week. All 100 of them. So, in this process, now I'm talking about a 10-year process. I'm building you up to a 10-year woohoo. Just not the day. But as you look over the 10 years, we felt forsaken. But we determined to reject the feelings and went for God's will. That's what you did. Maybe I had something to do with it. Maybe I didn't. But that's what we did. Does that make sense? I don't think I ever felt more rejected than the day we had to move out of Jewel. That was not a pleasant time for me. And you remember, not only was it that time, it was the time when we were bearing parents, both of us. I heard a lady say last night, "Why does God do this to us? I think He works harder on me than anybody else." And she wasn't talking about corrective. She was talking about the old religious doctrine that when something bad happens to you, God did it to you. And I got a chance to say to her, God doesn't own that. How could He give it to you?
Amen.
He doesn't own it. What He owns is good. And so what He gives is good. Not by our opinion. I don't think I ever enjoyed driving a nail, Chuck. Never in my life have I enjoyed driving a nail. But I always got joy out of being paid for driving the nail. Right? And if it takes, we spent a year one time on a house. And then it felt like we took another year to get paid for it. None of that was fun. And of course, you never get paid enough. You know that? We're spoiled people. We never get paid enough. We eat fat, drive well, and we never get paid enough. Had a guy come in. Y'all see that little piece of carpet right back there? Needs a little stretching. We had a guy come in here. He wanted $400 to stretch that because he thought he needed it. Not because he thought he was worth it. If it had been the other way around, he'd have told us quickly it wasn't, that's too much, right? Well, we did the same for him. He went back home without any money. He wanted $400 to work half a day. That's what he wanted. I don't know anybody worth that. Me only. We are here today in a place, by the way, it's air conditioned. You like that? That's a lot better than Jewel. I got to thinking a little while ago, I'd much rather be here than sweating at Jewel. I got all that I wanted. The number one part of this three-part message is take up your cross and follow me. What does that mean? When Jesus said this, you need to listen. When Jesus said this, He hadn't been crucified yet, but He knew what it was going to be. He hadn't been crucified yet, but He knew how it was going to feel. He hasn't been crucified yet, but He knew the victory that was going to come from it. And He was worthy to go through all of that. And then He just says, come on, now you do it. It's easy. Come on across. Not going to feel good. We've been through the not feel good. We'll go through a few times more. But is it worth the victory?
Yeah.
Are you planning for a victory?
Yeah.
Are you planning like I'm planning, that we're not going to be here very long? I don't even want to say that. But my decision has to be beyond that feeling. That's what Jesus was saying. He saw all the pain and all the misery and all the defeat that we were going to feel and see. But He was looking at the victory. We have to look past that feeling that I just had. That's hard to say. I don't want to be here very long. You didn't like it either, did you? All right, number two. We moved into the building. Okay, now we got our own building. I have to be the one that sees all the things wrong. You guys can see all of them right. That's fine. But I was sitting here. I'm sitting over there, and Connie's up against this wall. And my eyes started, they started goofing up. I lost depth perception. She was kind of going woo, 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 a little bit, and I'm going, oh. So that's why I'm going to keep moving around as if that's unusual. So that doesn't happen to y'all. We've got to take this pegboard down, which is going to be something yucky behind it we got to fix. which means the carpet's going to get dirty again. We got to paint some more. I brought 15 gallons. Bob's just dying to paint some more. Actually, the paint was given to us free. It's another blessing. The bathroom. I hate that bathroom. Even though it's a great bathroom, I mean, I'm just waiting for the first time somebody with some gastric distress goes in there, and then they open the door. It's just not going to be conducive to a good service. Do I like the building? Yes. We've got some things we need to do. We didn't get all the panels put up. We didn't get all the lights working. We'll get there. We've got to have a wall. The ladies say the restroom is there. Now, after what I've said, are you sure you want that? Want that to be the ladies' restroom? You're not saying nothing. Let me read something to you. Second Chronicles chapter 2. Second Chronicles chapter 2. I'm giving you a moment because most of you don't know where Chronicles is. That's okay. That's why they make that table of contents in there with a page number. Second Chronicles. Don't be ashamed to use it. I stopped being ashamed to look at the front of the book because I found out that every Bible was done differently. So I can't even judge depth or anything. So you just look at the front and turn to it. Second Chronicles chapter 2, verse 3. Then Solomon sent to Hiram, king of Tyre, or Tyre, saying, "As you have dealt with David my father and sent him cedars to build himself a house to dwell in, so deal with me." Verse 4. "Behold, I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God." So why are we in a building? "I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense for the continual showbread, for the burnt offerings morning and evening on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, and on the set feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the temple which I build will be great, for our God is greater than all gods." What is the motivation behind this building? That's right. "But who is able to build him a temple, since heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a temple, except to burn sacrifice before him?" There's the last few words is the reason that we bought this building. Now, we don't burn sacrifices anymore because we're forgiven. But that doesn't mean that we don't offer up the sacrifice of praise to bring him honor and glory. This is his place. This is his place. It doesn't have anything to do with not moving chairs. This is his house. It's where people are going to be healed and saved and delivered. It's where people are going to come and they're going to get uncomfortable here, mostly because it's too crowded. Amen? And we're going to have people get irritated because we're cleaning up too much. Everybody wants to look at the victory and nobody wants to look at the work. That constant struggle. I have never in my life, just looking back, never in my life found a time when it was time to set back. I don't know where that is. Maybe that's the reason I tell everybody there'll never be retirement. Because in my heart of heart, the Lord knows and has already told me, you're never going to set back. There's always going to be that larger thing to do. And maybe the only reason that I could ever deal with or handle the larger next thing that God tells me to do, The only way I'll be able to do that is to go to that brink of destruction. That place where you have nothing. Nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. Think I'll go out and eat a worm. Ran into one of those again today. I mean, last week sometime, I told Connie, I said, you know what? That tent out there in that pasture in South Texas looks better and better every day. Well, now you know how long that tent in South Texas would look good? Until the first time the temperature hit about 95 with about that same humidity, which is most of the summer. What's our purpose for this building? To continually burn sacrifice before Him. Now, what is the best sacrificial aroma that God can smell? Both of you said the same thing. It's a life being dedicated. What that means is if God is really dealing with you, that stinking part of you is being burned up.
Amen.
And God likes that smell. I mean, I never thought about it that way before. That old part of you, that fleshly part, that's what the sacrifice was, right? It's flesh. That flesh being put on the altar of God, God likes the smell. Yeah. It's kind of like that's when that smoker's going. All that fat is sizzling and falling. Who does that smell good? Amen? That's what this place is for. I want you to remember that because today when we dedicate this to God, and that's what we're doing, I want you to understand that's what we're dedicating ourselves to. Not just ourselves, but to everybody we know. We want their flesh to be burnt. Amen? A sweet smell before God. That's this building. Now, how about the body? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This one you know. Or do you not know, and it's verse 19. Or do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You want to get a real fight started in the United States? I'll just leave it at that. I won't even... Just say you have nothing to say about it. Which is what you are not your own means. It just doesn't sound as good. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Man.
What's God's?
My body and spirit are God's.
That's right. And the spirit that is in you, which is the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God. See, you guys have been blaming your mom and dad for being here. They had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Your spirit is from God. Your body's from God, and the Holy Spirit that is in within you is from God. Isn't that what it said? So we not only need to dedicate this building to God, we need to dedicate the body that we walk in to God. One without the other won't work. If you just dedicate a building, pretty soon it's whitewashed and we'll have stained glass. If you just dedicate your body and your spirit to God, then it's let God bless me and no one else. Because we're not even willing to create a place for God to come and minister to those that come. Number three, communion. And we're going to take, I hope we're set up to take communion today, otherwise somebody better get busy. Oh, we'll swig out of the same jug. It's okay. In that case, we should have bought a bottle of wine and nobody known the difference. Yeah, they're back there. We know the stuff is here. I just didn't know if it's prepared. Communion is our purpose for living. Communion is our purpose for having a building. Communion is our purpose for having a body from God, being part of God's body. It is for communion. When we began, the purpose of the Bible study, as we grew, the purpose of the church, and now as we moved into a building, the purpose of the building is for communion. It's not so we don't have to move chairs. I hope today I won't ever hear that statement again, even though it's as real as it can be. Our communion is first and foremost fellowship with God. Our teaching should be first and foremost to teach others or point others to fellowship with God. I know everybody here is part of the greeting committee. I agree with that. That's important. That's a social aspect. But I'm telling you, the purpose of our existence, the purpose of this building, is communion with God and causing others to commune with God. In communion, we learn to serve and we learn to win. Do you know why it's important to live your life in front of somebody? It's because that's accountability. It's accountability. If somebody's watching you, your old flesh will hold back from doing some things that normally it would do if it was just out by itself. And if you don't agree with that, well, then let's all need to go to the bathroom and see if you'll just do it anywhere or if you'll find a hidden place to do it. You respect the communion. Accountability also, did you know accountability keeps us from sinning? That's why first and foremost is communion with God, our fellowship with God. That's why you need to be part of a body. You need a family. Because without a family, you're going to be a hypocrite. I'll just be flat rude. Without a family, you're going to be a hypocrite. Because you're going to preach one thing and do another. Now, understand, all of this is based on God the Father and us being brides of Christ. The purpose for our existence, the purpose for communion, the purpose for this building, other than what I've already stated, is to bring others into fellowship with God. Right? Now, the pool hall down the street, the movie theater, Walmart, all of those, they're not communion. Because they don't base the fellowship around God. Our job is to take the lost. Who are the lost? The people that aren't serving God. And bring them into a family, and that family puts constant pressure on, now this kind of pressure, pushing relationship towards God. That's the kind of pressure we're talking about. Let's don't get big for our britches and think that our opinion is what they need to know. Because it isn't. We shouldn't be interested are affected by each other's opinion. We should be affected and pressured by each other's life for Christ. And when somebody comes in here, they just came from Walmart. They saw a lot of people doing a lot of things that aren't wrong. But it didn't take them towards God. And they need that. And they know they need that. Even though they won't say it, they know they need to serve God. Can I encourage you guys with something? It don't make any difference who you're talking to or where you are. The person that you're talking to knows they need God. I don't care what they say. They know they need God. Your job is not to persuade them or force them to serve God. That's not our communion. I like lobster. She doesn't. My job in life is not to make her like lobster. My job in life is to show her how much fun it is to eat lobster. Right? I can tell people all day long that they ought to polish their shoes, but the only way to make them polish their shoes is for yours to be polished. And they look at yours and they look at theirs and say, ooh, I think mine would look better being polished. Amen. Not to say, get your shoes polished. Right? Used to take cotton into a cotton gin. Cotton is like snowflakes. There's no two bowls alike, man. And yet, it goes through that cotton gin, and it comes all out clean and pressed. And every bale looks the same. Smells the same. Now, if I were in the military, that's good. But we're not in the military. We're in the business of offering a better lifestyle and a better eternal lifestyle in Christ Jesus. That's what we're here for. How does that happen? You're going to do it with your lifestyle. You're going to do it with your testimony. And your testimony is no good if you're demanding obedience. You know everybody's got the right to go to hell? And you need to be as much gentleman as Jesus is. That means if they got to go, they got to go. It's the Holy Spirit that does the wooing. Is that not correct? And He doesn't woo you and bring you valentines and roses. He's wooing you out of a degrading lifestyle into an uplifting lifestyle. That's what this place is about. That's what the fellowship is about. That's what our communion's about. Amen? And I want us to take communion today, but in a minute. In this meeting today, and I don't even consider this a real church meeting. This is more of a let's just talk for a minute. We're in this new gift from God, called our home, called our building, called our temple. Call it whatever you want, just as long as it's God's. As we take communion, we're also going to dedicate. We're not just, see, communion is, you know, I've always been taught this, and I always feel like it's true, that when you take communion, you are rededicating your life to God once again. You're selling yourself out. You're actually doing away with your flesh and your blood, and you're taking His in its place. So that's a rededication of this body, this temple. And at the same time, I want us to rededicate this building. This building, by the way, this building is a successful building. It's full of success. First building we've ever come into that's been full of success. The guy that opened this thing 30 years ago and moved in here did a great business. If you don't believe that, you just stand here. Those two guys that just walked by here were looking for the Colorado Angler. And I think it's been closed over a year. They're still looking for it. The man that built this stayed here for 30 years and died here. And by the way, when he died wealthy. He lived well and he died well. Amen? So this is the history. We don't have anything to curse here. We don't have a crazy superintendent that's worshiping demons. We don't have somebody in the back room that's trying to cut up women as some kind of sacrifice. We don't have that history here. We don't have, move into Jewel, we don't have some crazy guy that just started a war against the pastor and drove him out so that he could get the church. We don't have that history here. This building was not owned, as was in Jewel, by two or three men that were just in it for the profit. And so how can I get out? So we don't have any history to curse. We can just move in and inherit that history and move on. They had another location, by the way. Don't know if y'all knew that. But grew from this one into another location. Let's don't curse that. Let's just walk in it. Different fish, too. Sometimes it's stinkier fish, but they'll be okay. They'll be better. A Let's rededicate the building and ourselves to loving Him and honoring Him because He's worthy. We are rededicating this. Believe it or not, this was good for the world. Now we're going to make it good for the kingdom of God. Amen? Are we ready to take, are they ready yet to take communion? Because I'm ready. I told you I wasn't going to make it long today. I just want to make a few points. What's the matter? It's cold up here, all right? Well, we're taking notes. That's okay. That's another thing needs to be moved, is that thermostat needs to be put up here with this unit. Then we have better control. That's what she just said. It's getting cold up here. By the way, it is our building, and we can do other things here anytime we want. Amen? If there's a Bible study or a Wednesday night service or whatever we want to do here, one of the things I've refused to do is try to get everything done on the first day, mostly because I've been tired. But y'all can pray for me about that. My wife handed me a battery this morning as the men were praying for me, and I looked at that and I thought, was that something personal? Well, exactly what that meant. If y'all will get in a frame of mind now, the communion frame of mind. We've taught about this, we've taught about it, but I want to broaden from my normal teaching, and I want to go back to the original teaching. This is the body of Christ, this is the blood of Christ. Don't you partake in this unless your sins are forgiven. Children, I'm listening. I'm talking to you and adults. Don't you mock this communion. If you have something in your life that needs to be changed, you get it taken care of, or you leave this blood and this body alone. It's offered to you free. You hear me? It's offered to you. Jesus shed it so that we could take it. But He said, there's a curse goes if you take it with sin. Do I understand that? No. I'm just reporting it to you. So if you will, for everybody here, before we do, well, go ahead and pass out the cups. Where are the matzah sticks? All right. Oh, thank you. I can't walk around with that. It's too full. There. I want our walk in this building to be exciting. I want our life in this building to be exciting.
Yes.
We got it. Those crackers. Let's do those crackers. They taste bad. I also want, from our first scripture, you remember the first scripture that said, take up your cross and follow me? The places that Jesus walked, the actions that He took, the places where Jesus walked, the actions that He took were for His bride. They were for us. And I don't want this just to be a thing that is for us. We need to do what Jesus did, which is we're doing this for someone else. Amen? Now, we got our own comfort. It's obvious. We're getting our own blessings. It's obvious. We got air conditioning. We don't have to move the chairs again. But let's just get it in our head with this rededication that as Jesus did, we're doing it for somebody else. It can be a thankful thing. It can be praising Him. But we're doing it for somebody else. Amen? I want to read it to you again. He who loves father, our mother, ourself, more than me, is not worthy of me. Now listen to me carefully. The scripture that I'm going to read talks about being worthy of this sacrifice, being partaking of this sacrifice. So let's check our hearts right quick. Anybody that loves this building more than Jesus is not worthy of this sacrifice, this communion, this sacrament. Anybody that loves themselves more than their brother or sister is not worthy of this sacrament. Anybody that loves their father or their mother or their brother or their sister is not worthy of this sacrifice. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of the blood and the body of Christ. You hearing this? If there's any sin in your life, a sin of selfishness or adultery or anything like that, and I'm not pointing fingers, you know better than that. I'm just saying, take care of it right now before we partake. Now, I'll tell you something else. I said it to begin with. I'm going to say it again. Everybody in here has a physical, mental, financial, or spiritual problem. Will you let me say that? Everybody in here has something wrong. I don't care if it's a wart on your toe or if it's something huge. It doesn't make any difference. And I'll go into this in greater detail, but let me give you one piece of insight that God's dealing with me. What happened on the cross? What happened with His death, burial, and resurrection? What happened? Did healing happen?
Yes.
Then take up your cross and follow Him.
Yes.
Did He take all sin?
Yes.
Then take up your cross and follow Him. What I'm trying to tell you is this represents a total washing away of all the problems, all the sicknesses, all the disease. The body represents all the nourishment and need you ever have had. Okay? The blood is washed away every sickness, every disease, every piece of crud that ever touched your life called sin. It's washed it away. It's already done. So when we talk about take up your cross, we're talking about take up His blood. And the body is the bread of life. It's that thing that fills the voids, gives you strength and hope and power and authority. Why? So because He's worthy of us being worthy. Amen?
Amen.
At the same time, there's been a few curse words let loose in this building, I'm sure. There's been a few selfish fishermen come in here. Only interested in catching a fish. And seeing how cheap they could get the lures. Just all about them. As we partake of the blood and the body, that's going to wash all of that away, and it's going to be replaced with a feeling in this place. She called it, what did you call it? Welcoming spirit. That's just a good phrase, just a good word. That we don't care how selfish you are, and we don't care how filthy you are, and we don't care. We just have something for you. We have the blood and the body. And it's worthy. And you need to get worthy to partake of the worthiness. Amen? And we don't need to love ourselves more than what Jesus loves the person. It's very difficult for us to love. A few faces pop in my mind, and I don't think it's necessary for me to give names. It's very difficult for us to love some people. But Jesus so loved the entire world that He did this. Okay? Let's get our minds set on dedicating this building, washing this building, dedicating ourselves, washing ourselves. And then when we take of the bread, let's fill us and this building with Jesus Christ. That's the infilling. Okay? Let's do this correct. In my eyes, correct. And this is what Jesus said. I'm not even going to read it. I'm just going to say it. Jesus said, as they were eating, He said, this is my blood. You understand? The defeat before the victory? That's not a pretty picture. This is my blood. As we take this, I'm not thirsty for blood. But I'm thirsty to be washed and cleansed. Amen? Let's take it now in Jesus' name. Lord, we do thank You. We do thank You for that instrument, that sacrament, that represents truth. Now we've not just taken the sacrament. We've taken, received in our bodies truth, cleansing, and healing. Healing. Physically. With this power that Jesus just gave us, we curse every malady. We curse every affliction. We take dominion over every diagnosis and every chain that holds us down or back. The thing that robs us from life and strength. We curse it now with the blood of Jesus. And we curse every sin that's in us and in others that are around us as we are cleansed and filled. We cleanse and fill others by your blood. And now that we're clean, we need to be filled. Those sicknesses and those diseases and those maladies that have taken their toll and left voids, we're going to fill them with the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the broken body. It's no longer broken. Broken once and for all to deliver and to fill. We no longer look at that cross where there's a broken Lord and Savior, but one that's taken every thing that can hold us back, taken it to hell and left it with its maker, and brought back a victorious food and strength. And now to this building that's cleansed, and to this temple that's cleansed, and to this body which is the temple that's cleansed, we add strength. Take his body and his strength now. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. In Mark 14, it says that Jesus blessed this. Jesus said, I bless this. I bless what you just did. That's what Jesus says. I bless what you just did. It's no longer when Jesus touches something. It's no longer a sacrament or a ritual. It's now a blessing. Amen? So what you just took, Jesus said, I blessed. This is one time we don't want to sanctify it. We want to bless. It's already sanctified. What do I mean? I mean it needs to grow in you. It needs to cause growth in you. It needs to cause strength. And those places that are sick, it needs to cause healing. Those places that something's been predicted are diagnosed, it needs to be changed. The Scripture needs to take the place of diagnosis. A decision for Christ needs to take the place of a decision for a diagnosis. And as we sat down there with Linda, I looked in that room where she's at with all the wires and all the blinking and all that stuff. And the thought came to me, we're all going to end up here. But that's from hell. That's not the truth. As logical as that sounds, because I could see myself in that bed, that's logic. It's accepted for them. It's not acceptable for us.
Amen.
Because nowhere does it say I have to die like that.
Right.
My mom sat up on the side of her bed needing to do something physical, like go to the bathroom. She just threw her hands up, laid across the bed, and it was finished. My grandmother said, it's time for me to go. Y'all come see me before I go. Travel from across the United States to come see me before I go. Looked at her husband and said, I'm going to go now. When you get to be my age, which I found out was just a few months different, about 6 months, when you get to my age, you're going to come be with me, with a smile on her face. Everybody thought she'd gone off her rocker. They started home and she died. They had to go back. Why? Because God had cleansed their minds and their hearts about what had to happen. I was given the choice for a decision. You will end up there. That's what the devil said. It didn't sound like that, but that's what he said. And the Holy Spirit said, I didn't say that.
Right.
Now I've got to choose. Choose you this day, life or death.
Yeah.
I choose what the Holy Spirit says. Yeah. The devil says, you got that stuff from the food bank. Isn't that what the devil says? It's worthless. They didn't even want it. Well, that's what they said about Jesus, too. You're worthless, and you're a mocker. You're a blasphemer. You're worthless. You're not even worth a normal death. We'll just kill you. God the Father said, I didn't say that. Jesus said, you don't have anything over me. You have no control at all. You've had control over me. You've had control over mine, and I'm breaking it now in Jesus' name. And this is what he said. He said, you take that sacrament, and I'll bless it. Now, we've been on the cross for a while, guys. I feel like it anyway. Now, I'll never equal what Jesus did, but I feel like I got some holes in me. And if Jesus says that I'm blessed in this, then I'm blessed in this.
Yes.
And I'll take no other report. I don't take any other report. If God says this is the building I have you for the moment, then I am blessed. This building is blessed. We're blessed when we come in, and we're blessed when we go out. If that scripture is true, I was blessed when I came out of the womb, and I'm blessed when I go in the grave. And I'm blessed every place in between. Right? And as much as I didn't want to be up here in the last few days, I was blessed when I walked in, and I was blessed when I walked out. It doesn't make any difference what I felt like. And all the other miseries that all of you guys have been through, here's the cool part. It doesn't come close to the misery Jesus went through for you. And yet then he turned right around and he said, take up your cross and follow me. Well, he also put a promise to that. You'll never have to go through what I went through. Because I've already done it. Right? I've already done it. So all you have to do is don't get discouraged when everything seems discouraging. That's nearly as hard as you are worthy. No, it's not. It's quite a bit harder. It's easy to get you are worthy. It's easy to get for me. It's easy to get you are worthy out of my lips. It's a little harder to remember that if he's worthy, I'll take up my cross and follow him, which means I don't stop at the cross and I don't stop at the grave. I walk right on through both of them.
Right.
Looking for the finished product, the victory, the completed house. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm through. But Jesus isn't. He's just getting started. If you want to pray for me, pray that I maintain the strength and the health to do what he needs to do.
Thank you, Lord. Agree with
that. Amen? And I'll do the same for you. Because the devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Why don't we, when we feel those three feelings, why don't we remember where it comes from? But Jesus just gave us, through this sacrament, through our faith, our work, life, and that more abundantly.
Amen?
Amen. Anybody want to complain? You know, the one thing that this church I wish would always have is that at the end of every service, we forget what problem we walked in with. Or we don't physically forget it, but it just becomes real little. Let's say a quick prayer for those people that are around Florida and Alabama and all those places, if you don't mind. Father, we lift those people up. We curse the storm's destructive ability. We curse it now. And that what came in as a roaring lion goes out as a toothless lamb. And everybody looks back and says, what just happened? It's not what we thought. And in that, Lord, you get glory and you get honor and you get praise and you get worship because you're worthy. You're worthy of a people that will take dominion over storms and sickness and disease and poverty. You're worthy of a people that will stand up and proclaim your great, your greatness, your power, and operate in that power. You're worthy, Lord. Once again, we ask you to raise Linda up from that bed with a new strength and a new victory. And that new strength and that new victory is shown forth in Bill and the mother and the sister and the aunt and in us. And the doctors stand amazed and receive the confirmation that the testimonies that they'd already heard were not in vain. The testimonies that had already been spoken to them were now revealed in her walking away. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your body. Thank you for your blessings on it. Thank you for the building. And thank you, your blessings on that. Thank you, Lord. Send us those that are lost. Send them so strong and so many, Lord, that we are the ones yelling for help. But we're not in defeat. We're in victory. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies that were given here this morning. But more than that, thank you for the ones that are coming next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for friends. Thank you for family. Thank you for communion. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. Thank you for the peace that's felt right here today, right now. Thank you for the victory. All hearts clear? One more time. All hearts clear? We've got time. We're not in a hurry. Lord, then we thank you for a clear heart. But more than that, those things we don't yet know about, that have not been yet pointed out in our lives, we thank you that you're faithful to point them out without condemnation. As that nail is being driven, it's not painful. It's pointing to victory, a completed project. We love you, Lord. Everybody that agrees with the prayer and the message and the building and the blessing that Jesus put on this morning, let's be in agreement and thank him by saying amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.